The question posed today is, why do bad things happen to good people? This makes us lose our faith in God. Is He actually just and kind? Something that seems to be bad now turns out to be good later on. Likewise, there are things that seem to be good now, but later on they turn out to be bad. Suppose you had planned your summer vacation and purchased the train ticket, but on the way to the railway station, you were caught in a terrible traffic jam. You thought, what a bad thing is happening to you. And by the time you reached the station, the train had already left. And that made you conclude, this was so awful. But then, a few hours later, you got the news that the train had an accident. And you said, my life has been saved. You thanked your stars. Such a good thing happened. You were stuck in the jam. Likewise, it's always a matter of perspective. When the mother weans the child away from excessive sweets, the child thinks a bad thing is happening to me. And the mother's perspective is, it's such a good thing. When you have to force yourself to exercise, it seems such a bad thing. But when it results in enhancing your health and well-being, it turns out to be a good thing. Likewise, our definition of good things is that we get material well-being and prosperity. But the saints have a different definition. Take a look at Kunti Devi. When Sri Krishna asked her, Kunti, ask for a boon. The battle of Mahabharata was over. And for 22 days, Sri Krishna stayed in Hastinapur. But he then informed Yudhishthir that the Yadus are waiting for him in Dwarka and he needs to leave. Reluctantly, Yudhishthir gave permission. And the chariot moved forward when Kunti came and fell in front. And she started crying, Shri Krishna, you are the soul of our life. And if you leave, what will we do without you? Shri Krishna said, Varam Bruhi, Kunti, I am very pleased with you. Ask what you want. Kunti said, Vipada santu nashashvat tatra tatra jagat guru. O Shri Krishna, please do one thing to me. Give me difficulties and hardships in the world. Shri Krishna said, Kunti, but everybody looks on that as bad things. And they request me for the reverse. Sukha sampatti ghar aave. Their idea of good things is that we should get material prosperity. And you are asking for the reverse. Kunti said, Maharaj, you know very well why I am asking. I do, but speak it out so that others can also hear. Kunti then said, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Bhire Dhamma Namada Puman Naivar Hatya Bidhatum Vai Twama Kinchana Gocharam. O Shri Krishna, it is these material opulences and luxuries that keeps us distracted away from you. And that is why, if they are snatched away, that will be the best thing, because then bhavato darshanam yat syad punar bhava darshanam, there'll be nothing to entangle me and I'll be able to look exclusively towards you. So let me read to you from my latest book, Questions You Always Wanted to Ask Regarding Good and Bad Things. What is truly a good or a bad thing? In our narrow perspective, we define good things as the attainment of material pleasures. The deprivation of bodily comforts then becomes our idea of bad things. These labels are, in fact, faulty. A truly good thing is that which results in our inner growth. A truly bad thing is that which leads to the downfall of our eternal soul. From this perspective, even suffering may sometimes be a blessing in disguise or a good thing. Besides, whatever is happening to us is not being given randomly by God in a whimsical manner. Rather, He has a law of karma in place, and we are getting the consequences of our own actions. Observe, everywhere in nature there are laws that govern the microcosm to the macrocosm, and all of science is the study of these laws and their applications. So when inanimate matter is governed by laws, aren't there also laws relevant to us humans? That is the law of karma. Karma pradhana vishva kari rakha, jo jas karai so tas phalu chakha. Now, whether we believe in the law or do not believe in it, we will be subject to it nevertheless. Just like somebody can say, "I don't believe in the law of gravitation," and that person goes to the second story of his house and jumps down from there, the law of gravitation will hold nevertheless. It will not break. The person will break his leg. Likewise, whether we like it or not, we are all under the law of karma. Some people say, "If I am not aware of this law, does it still apply to me?" Definitely it does. Suppose an ignorant villager arrives at the railway station for the first time and sees a train on the platform and gets in, and the train starts off. The ticket checker comes and asks, "Ticket?" "What ticket?" "You need a ticket to travel in the train." "Oh, sorry, sir, I did not know. Next time I'll definitely purchase it." The ticket checker says, "Next time you do purchase, but for right now, you give me the money for the ticket and fine extra." "Hey, sir, what kind of a person are you? I am telling you, I did not know." He says, "It was your duty to come to know the railway's laws. It was not the railway's duty to go and inform each passenger." Likewise, God has made His rules available in the scriptures, and they are taught by the saints. It is for us to inquire and find them. Now, this law of karma is not restricted to one life, and that is what sometimes causes confusion. Take the case of Annie Besant, who was called the Diamond Soul. In the year 1917, she became the president of the Indian National Congress, even though she was born in Great Britain. She was also the president of the Theosophical Society in India. But in her youth, she went through a phase of disbelief. As a young mother, she had a daughter called Mabel who used to suffer epileptic seizures when her fever would go high. And this would happen again and again. seeing the plight of her daughter was extremely painful for Annie. And she started doubting if there is any God. In fact, she became an activist in society, propagating atheism and scientific materialism, until she came across a book that explained the law of karma. And she understood there is not just one life, we all have had many lives. And very often what happens to us in this life is a consequence of the actions of the past life. She then realized that her daughter was probably suffering for past karmas, and that completely transformed her into a believer, to the extent she came and settled down in Bharat, and the rest is history. She was a brilliant orator, an educationalist, a writer. She wrote more than 300 booklets, books, etc. And of course, a political figure as well. So as per the law of karma, good and bad things happen to us as a consequence of our own good and bad deeds. And the existence of the law of karma is not to enable us to enjoy material luxuries, but to learn the lessons and go towards our spiritual goal. Don't forget that this world is like the jail of God. Now, I have visited the jail many times to give lectures. The first time when I went, I was just a 30-year-old. I was giving a lecture in the district capital of Kandhamal district in Odisha, and thousands of people used to come, including the jailer. One day he said, "Swamiji, you please have to come and meet my prisoners." So I accompanied him, and he put me in front of 40 prisoners. I looked at them. They were so miserable looking. They had their eyes down as if they were feeling embarrassed to look me in the eye. And I was stumped on what I would speak to them. Involuntarily, it came out of me, "Are you all unhappy?" All of a sudden, those who had been looking down, they straightened up their neck and started shaking and said, "Yes." They thought maybe Swamiji has got some magic wand to remove all their miseries, which definitely they had many. I said, "You are unhappy? Very good." Now, hearing that, they were taken by surprise. They thought they were expecting sympathy from Swamiji. At least they expect a Swamiji to be a kind-hearted person, and he's rubbing salt in our wounds by saying, "Very good." I said, "Look, what is the purpose of a jailhouse? Supposing you become comfortable there, you get all your wishes to live a luxurious life fulfilled in the jailhouse. When the term is over and the government says, 'Okay, go now,' you'll say, 'Let me do something,' so I return to the jailhouse." So the jailhouse is necessarily a place of austerity. Likewise, this material realm is for those souls who have their backs to God. Now, in this situation, if we could be permanently happy here, there would be no need for God. And hence, the material energy ensures our lack of perfect bliss as long as we are here. The Ramayana states, "Himate anala prakata baru hoi vimukha ram sukha pavan koi." Tulsidas Ji Maharaj says, "Look, fire may manifest from the ice. This impossible may become possible. But vimukh of God, with the back turned towards God, nobody can be truly happy." So, since this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, a place of misery and temporariness. What is there so surprising when we see people suffering out here? And when you are defining somebody as a good person, remember that person is still in the material realm. That person is a work in progress. And if God is giving some suffering in that person's life as per their own karma, it's not because God hates the person, but He wants the person to be truly good, to be perfect, to reach the supreme goal of the soul, which is God realization. Let's have faith in the wisdom of God and in the law of karma. And with that positivity, let us surrender ourselves at the feet of God.